Psalm chapter 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of trial. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Think about it. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation in the name of our God. We will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed, his Messiah. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen. But we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Amen. Well, we've been looking at Psalm 20 the last couple of weeks. And hopefully this week we will draw it to a close. Now I know, in verse 6, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. And as I pointed out the other week in the Hebrew, in the Greek, the Septuagint, it has anointed, but actually in the Hebrew it says Messiah. So the Jews, when they read this, they would have seen, now I know that the Lord saves his Messiah. And the Messiah, can you not hear? You're all right. Oh, it's fallen off. There we are. Now you can't hear me from my shoes, can you? Okay. Now I know that the Lord saves his Messiah. They would have recognized this as the Savior, that one day the Messiah would come and save his people. For some, they believed he would come as a knight almost on a stallion and fight against the enemies. But for those who loved the Lord, those who knew the Messiah, knew that he wasn't that. He was coming to save his people from their sin. And you see, these next few verses, from verses 6 onwards, are all about trusting in the name of the Lord. And it's hard. We live in a day of self-sufficiency, don't we? We live in a day of self-reliance, and I am okay. You know, you're at school, and they tell you about getting the best job you can, and getting the best education, and making sure that you are all right. And once you've got that job, and once you've got that self-sufficiency, we don't need God. Until one day something happens to our life, something happens to our family, something happens to the country, and suddenly we are found helpless. You see, this psalm is all about the fact that we can trust in our God. Now I know, says the psalmist. This is a testimony, and a testimony, as some of you know, a testimony is someone giving their experience. You know, if you hear a name that you've never heard before, And someone else says, yeah, I know that name, you can trust them. I remember I was a sheet metal worker, as a young lad, a tradesman at Tinney, and I remember doing a job, and this job was putting a wired edge on a piece of metal. And I went to see one of the chaps that was working the wiring machine, and I said to them, can I use your machine to put this wired edge on this? I think it was a mudguard for a motorbike. And the chap said, oh no, you can't do that. You won't be able to do it. I said, well, I've been sent here to do it. Someone's told me to do it. Well, who's told you? I said, Fred Davies told me. Ah, if Fred Davies says you can do it, I'm sure you're able to do it. Because they knew him. They knew he was a skilled man, and he was a serious man, and he wouldn't have sent me there if I couldn't have done it. And you see, and I was able to do it. And you see, here is a testimony of David. David says, this is my testimony, this is my experience. And the fact is this, that we can trust in the Lord. As the King of Israel, as I have led and guided this people, I have trusted in God, and He has led, and He has guided me. And it's a reminder to ourselves, because we can sometimes have confidence in our own strength, and it reminds us, look, where is your strength? Where is your confidence? Can you say, now I know? You know, might know the Bible, you might be able to memorise big portions of the Bible, you might be able to tell me about church history, you might be able to tell me about all the ministers that have been in this church, the great preachers and the not so great preachers, the ones that have let you down and the ones that haven't. And you can have a whole list of history. You can know all about God, you can know all about His Word, but can you say, now I know I can trust in the Lord Jesus. When life is, the bottom's just dropped out of it. When you're sitting there in the doctors and they say you've only got so long to live. When your loved one suddenly turns around and says, I don't love you anymore. When you're sitting there and you are being told that you're being made redundant. And there are lots of things that can happen that can just rip your life apart. Can you say that as difficult as life may be, I know I can trust in the Lord? Do we know that confidence? Do we know that experience? After his sacrifice, we read the sacrifices in verses 3. After his sacrifices, he has this confidence in the Lord, that the Lord sent help from the sanctuary, that God met him at his moment of need. I remember as a young boy, I was a young boy at Parkgate Road School, and I remember it was a day when it was the last day of bringing the money in for the trip, and I forgot to bring the money. And I didn't know what to do. And if you didn't bring the money that day, you weren't going. And I remember praying to the Lord. I was only about 8 at the time. I said, Lord, please help me. Just would you help me that I might be able to pay this for this trip? I didn't know how I was going to pay. I didn't have any money. And not long after I prayed that, this young boy believed that God could do anything. And my auntie happened to come down to see my cousin about something. And I was able to say to her, Auntie Rhoda, is there any chance of lending me some money to pay for this trip? And for me, for a long time, I was able to say to people, God heard my prayer. I have this personal experience. Do you know that personal experience of God speaking and answering? We see here in the king such a grateful rejoicing, declaring that he has an experience of the goodness of God. I want you to know that I know this God. You are able to say, I know this Jesus. I know him in my life. It's no good. My parents love the Lord and it's such a blessing, but that's no good. I can't stand on their experience. It has to be my experience, the Bible teaches us. In this, David sees the victory in Jesus. He sees the Messiah, even though he was a long way off. He knew that he could put his eternal affair in the hands of the Saviour. We know we can put our eternal affairs in the hands of the one who stilled the waters, the one who raised the dead, the one who touched the hearts of men and women, the one that went to Calvary. One man said about this, he said, David, as the great prophet of the cross and resurrection of Jesus, sees the victory as already completed. He cries out, "Now I know that the Lord saves the Messiah." David knows that the prayers of the Christ, his church, will be heard. Christ will be vindicated after his suffering. He will enter into his glory after his sacrifice. The saving power of the right hand of the Father will answer the Christ. What he's saying is this: listen, I can see what God is going to do. And he's going to make a way for the whole world to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Do we know our God answering us from his holy heaven? Do we have experiences of him speaking to us? Do we read his word? You know, God has given us his word to speak to us. It is from his word that we hear daily of his goodness to us. David knew the goodness of God. He knew God's deliverance through many dangers. God had anointed him king and determined to protect and defend him. Do you know that? Life isn't easy, is it? At times life is so difficult. And when you read of, you look at our society, and it's coming out of young women and young men that have been treated terribly by people. And it's a hard life. You know, I grew up in a happy home, a loving father, a loving mother. And before the age of 10 and 11, I began to see homes where my friends were beaten. I didn't understand it. We live in a difficult world, don't we? People with mothers and fathers that have got massive issues, and they have such struggles. But can we say that we have a God who will keep us in those difficulties? You see, Satan didn't want David to live in peace, and he put every effort into destroying David's life. He caused David to commit adultery. He caused David to number the people when God had said no. He caused David to almost backslide. There were times and times again when David did things he shouldn't. As Satan put temptation after temptation in his way. So it was important that he was protected by more than human intervention, but by the Lord of hosts. He needed God to protect him. And we go on to verse 7. It says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." I don't believe David is just writing about the enemies of Israel and his own people, but I believe this verse is a picture of the people of God, the church, worldwide. And he's saying, listen, our whole trust needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're reminded, aren't we, in this verse, how that men find great power in riches and military prowess. You know, those with greatest power have greatest say. You look around the world and you see how those who are in poverty are treated in a terrible way because of those, you see, who are more fortunate than others, and they lord it over them because they have great confidence in their wealth. They have great confidence in their position. Whereas the people of God make a declaration. They don't place their hope in the usual place, in the worldly way of wealth and power, but they find their help in the Lord. That's where our help is. In our loneliness, in those difficult situations, in our frustration. There's some of you maybe here today, you're looking to tomorrow, and you just don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. Well, none of us do. But they might be maybe full of fear over something, I don't know. But the psalmist is reminding us, look, your help is in the Lord. If you trust in the Lord as your Saviour, you can find a peace. We're reminded in Philippians 4 that we're not to be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication we're to make our requests made known unto God. And we will know a peace that passes all understanding. I'm not talking about prayers. Well, you know how some people pray? They have the same prayer. They pray every night, and they have a list where it's almost as if they memorise it, but they're not talking. You know when you're having a chat with your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you're having a chat with your friend, you know when you talk to one another and you're listening to one another and you're interacting with one another, this is what prayer is. Prayer is talking to the living God, reminding him of his promises. We can talk to the Lord as we're ironing, as we're at the kitchen sink. We can talk to the Lord as we're fixing something on the car, or we're mowing the lawn, as we're walking the dog. We can converse with him. He loves us to talk to him. And it's in him we find our help. The Holy Spirit is showing here that God's help is more important than human strength. King Jehoshaphat, he joined up with King Ahab, and God said, why are you doing that? Trust in me, I will deliver you, I will care for you. David, don't number the people. It's not about the size of your empire, it's about trusting in me. So we should remind ourselves that when we are confident in the flesh, you see, we have forgotten our God. And as Christians, there are times when we forget our God. And sometimes he chastises us. He might bring pain into our life to cause us to call upon his name. It is impossible for us to put our confidence in ourselves when we are focused on the glorious majesty of our God. Have you ever been in a place where you've seen someone, I don't know, maybe you're like there's a pop star you like, and suddenly you see them and you forget everything, or there's a boy you fancy or a girl you fancy, and they say hello to you, and suddenly your lips go all numb, and you don't know what to say, and you say something daft and silly, and you see, when you come into the presence of the glory of God, when you see him for who he is, you cannot rely on your own strength. You realise that you are nothing compared to his glory. And the writer is saying, listen, trust in him. He wants you to trust in him. Yet the writer is reminding us that we forget. He says there in verse 7, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will remember. The problem is we forget. We so easily forget. I know for myself, over these last couple of weeks, God has been reminding me, Martin, put your trust in me. Not in the legs of men, not in the strength of horses. Put your strength in me. I am your guide. I am the one that sustains you and leads you and guides you. Don't fear men. Fear me. Put your trust in me. So when the psalmist is saying, but we will remember, he's reminding us it's an act of the will to look to our God. We have to. We wake up in the morning and we say, I am going to commit this day to the Lord. It's an act of the will. And the trouble is our wills are lazy, aren't they? Our wills are such that we don't always trust as we should. We take the easy option. And it's far easier to, in a sense, to trust in our own strength. And the psalmist is saying, no! Remember the name of the Lord. Put your trust in him. And two important thoughts. One is that no matter how much power and resource we have, we will always fall short of God's grace. No matter what you have in this life, you will always fall short. And you have countless testimonies, don't you? Remember Johnny Wilkinson? He trained all his life to kicking the ball, and then all those years ago when he scored that conversion playing the rook, when he was playing rugby, and he kicked the ball over, and England had won the World Cup, and they were running around excited, and he suddenly realised it was all for that. I've got nothing else. Robbie Williams has been noted to say that I've got to the top of the world, and there's nothing there. You can have everything this world has to offer. If you go on the internet, you see things that people have, these billionaires, you know, they have these boats that have got inlaid with gold inside and diamonds, and you just look at the bling on it and you think, whoa, these people have got so much, and yet they've got nothing. If that's all that they rely upon, they will always fall short if they don't know the Lord in their life. Secondly, when we feel empty, when we feel broken and weak, we can call upon our God with all confidence. It's only when we realise that we are nothing that we can find confidence in Him. Then in verse 8 we then, it says, they have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. The enemy of God will have a false sense of pride for a time, but will be brought to their knees. There'll come a day, you look at Stephen Hawking, and you think of these men that ridicule the church. You think of those who blaspheme the name of Christ. And more as you watch the television, what you listen to the radio, there's a bombardment of everything. They hate the things of Christ. One day, time will stop. The Bible says very clearly that the Lord will come in a cloud, and everything will roll back, and a man rolls back a curtain, rolls up a cloth. And we will have to stand before the eternal God. It'll be too late then. People will see that how wrong they were. But for the upright, you know, don't you? You know the truth. You know the wonder of God's presence. How it thrills your heart when you know His truth in your mind and heart. You know how it encourages you through the most difficult of times. But we have risen and stand upright. You can stand upright in a North Korean jail. You can stand upright in a landing. We think of Bhutan and we think of parts of the world where as a Christian they try and break you. They try a ritual of all life, yet that treasure that is within the earthen vessel, the fact that Christ lives within us, we can stand strong knowing that we have an incredible hope that outweighs everything this world has to offer. You can take my land, you can take my life, you can take all, but you cannot take my standing in Christ Jesus. What a picture of the child of God. It's not until that we are broken can we rise. Not until we see our sin can there be cleansing. Oh, then what security. Oh, foundation that we have in the Lord. Then in Romans 8, verse 1, we have that beautiful, wonderful passage. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. What an amazing thought. And as you read the scriptures, there are other verses there in 1 Peter 2 verse 6. It says, behold, I lay in Zion, in the place of God, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on Jesus will by no means be put to shame. If you believe on the Lord Jesus, you will never be made to be embarrassed. You will never be made to feel that you are a failure ultimately. Yes, people will make you feel like you're a bumbling idiot. If you say you believe in creation, if you say you believe in the Lord Jesus, if you say you believe you're a sinner and you need a Saviour, people will laugh and they will think you're quaint. But oh, what joy will fill your heart when you stand before God in eternity. And then we come to that final verse. And now the final verse in the original Hebrew, it's translated differently to the Greek. I don't mean, it sounds like I'm being clever, I don't mean to be. What I'm saying is this, is there's two different translations. One, I think if you've got the NIV Bible, puts it this way. It says, O Lord, save the King, answer us when we call. It gathers together the whole essence of the psalm into two exclamations. And it's saying, Lord, save the King. It was a prayer of the church saying, save the Lord as he dies, as he goes to Calvary. Keep him and save him. But answer us when we call. Listen to our prayers. But the more traditional version, I personally, they're both, you know, that they don't contradict Scripture. But I personally like the older, the more traditional translation that says, save Lord, or save us Lord, as Calvin says. Save Lord, let the King hear us when we call. There is this picture of the whole psalm is summed up in that first phrase. Save Lord. But goes on to ask that the King will hear us. The one who will be risen from the dead. The one who will sit at the right hand of the Father. The fact that Jesus sits there with his Father, interceding, praying on our behalf. This psalm is saying, listen, Lord, save us. Listen to us. Just as you have raised your Son from the dead, so meet us. Be with us. Lord, hear us when we call. I don't know about you, but we have a great God. And my prayer is that each one of you here would taste and see that the Lord is good. We have an incredible Saviour who will do more than we ask or think. And it is our prayer that you be able to say as the psalmist said, save Lord, may the King answer us when we call. Amen. We're going to turn to our final hymn, and it's 1407 in the Green Book. A King of the Ages, Almighty God, perfect love, ever just and true, who will not fear you and bring you praise.
Bring in peace and hope for good.
Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we do thank you for the fact that you've given us your word and that you speak to us through your word. We thank you that we can trust in you, that if we put our strength in all this world has to offer, we will fail. But Father, we thank you that you have sent your Son that we might know life eternal, that we might know security, that we might know this freedom found in you. And Lord, we pray for each one gathered here, Lord, that we would all be able to testify to the fact that we have tasted of the things of God. We will be able to say, now I know, that now I know I can put all my trust in the Saviour of the world. So Lord, encourage us, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.